you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
All right, what a blessing. I just want to say here before we get into it, into the message tonight, that it really has been a blessing to have been here. We do very much appreciate your kindness and a nice place to stay and the food and the fellowship and just the spirit here and your response. It's been a blessing. It feels like we're making some friends. And I mean that from my heart. So we do appreciate you very much. And again, I said it earlier, but I need to repeat it. Thank you so much for making not just me feel welcome, but my wife feel welcome as well. And it's been honestly a real blessing. So God bless you. You got a good thing going here. And I've been praying. I came praying to be a blessing. Wasn't really expecting to get a blessing. Like, don't take that the wrong way, right? I just wasn't thinking of it that way. And we've just been very pleasantly surprised at how much we've got a blessing out of being here and being with you. So thank you very much. If you would go to Psalm 91 in your Bible, I want to say this. I really appreciate that song that you guys just sang. That was a real blessing because that's one of my favorite songs, at least at a certain point in my life. And it was a point that actually, interestingly enough, I was sitting there kind of debating and in preparation and thinking about the message throughout the afternoon and whatnot. I've been kicking it back and forth in my head as to whether or not it's the right way to introduce it, but I think the Lord kind of just confirmed that to me. This psalm, Psalm 91, is a special psalm to me because at a certain point in my life, I memorized the whole psalm. I was needing something pretty desperate from the Lord, and I needed help, and I wanted to get help. I really, really wanted to get help. And I want to share this psalm with you. I don't think that this message is going to put it in the rafters. I'm not necessarily intending that. I never really know exactly how a message is going to come out. I get ready and prepare, and then I start preaching, and we see what happens with it. But I don't necessarily intend to try to put this message in the rapture, in the rafters, or get everybody all jacked up tonight. I know you're obviously tired. You don't know whether it's morning or evening. You're not alone, brother. Stephen walked up and said, "Good morning, guys." And we're like, it's 7 o'clock at night, bro. but anyhow, I know you're tired and we've been here every day and you got to get up for work and school and all the rest of that in the morning. But I really do believe that this is the right place to end the meeting. And I want to just try to get you to think a little bit and ask you a question, something to consider in your own personal life. And it kind of boils down to taking everything that we've looked at, starting the first night with what does God know about you and secret sin and what may or may not be what everybody else thinks, right? The reality of who you are. And all the other things that we've looked at throughout the week. And really, if you were to kind of sum up your Christian life and how to get wherever God wants to take you successfully, it really does boil down to your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing in the world, if there's any one thing I could get through to somebody's head, if there were a younger person saying, look, you know, who do I marry and what do I do for a job and where do I go with my life and do I go to the mission field or not go to the mission field or how do I serve the Lord and how do I figure all these things out? If there was one thing I could tell, say, my daughters, and say, listen, get a hold of this. Dad's, if I was passing off the scene, I don't have anything else I can tell you. I'm going to heaven. I'm not on my deathbed. Girls, this is the one thing I want you to get a hold of. Develop a real personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So how is your personal secret relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the reasons I don't like to preach this message is because I don't ever want to send people the impression that he's such a great man of God. Because I'm just as human as you are, and when it comes to things like my prayer life and my Bible reading and reading my Bible properly, like knowing my doctrine and learning my doctrine and yet reading my Bible devotionally and having God speak to me from my Bible and all the rest of that stuff, I'm just as human as you are. This is something that I'm actively working on day to day in my life, and I go through really good phases and then I go through phases where I start to struggle for a little while. So I don't want to come across like, you know, I'm the guy that's got this down and I'm preaching at you about it. But this is something that we all need to think about. I came to a point in my life, I had gotten right with the Lord Jesus Christ. I began backsliding around 15 years old, and that's a long story I'm not getting into, but I started backsliding around 15 years old. My dad was a Baptist preacher and all the rest of that stuff, and I was the typical, you know, they call them PK. I hate the phrase. I don't let anybody in my church use it. When they do, I squash it. I say, they're not the pastor's kid. Excuse me? No, they're not. Because if they were the pastor's kid, then if I left and went to another church, the church would keep them because that's the pastor's kid. That's my kid. You get the point I'm making? Right? They're just, their dad happens to be a pastor. So they're my kids. I don't like that phrase, but I was the typical one, right? If you know what that means. And I struggled. I had a bad time of it. I got right with God when I was about 21 years old because I was already just so sick of everything that was going on. I was sick of the absence of a relationship with the Lord. I was sick of the conviction. I was sick of fighting. And some circumstances had come into my life that brought me to my knees, and I got right with the Lord. And I surrendered to what I knew God had on my life from the time that I was little. I just knew God wanted me to be a preacher. I can't ever like define it for you. It's like, when were you called to preach? Like, I don't really know how to answer that. People make a whole lot out of that stuff. I think that when you get saved, God puts His Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit of God has some gifts in you. And I think you kind of figure that out as you grow in the Lord. You figure out what God has for you. And I knew it from an early age. It was just kind of there. And when I began to backslide and, you know, being in church and having a dad who was a preacher and all the other things that were going on, I just said, forget this stuff. And when I got right, I knew part of getting right was, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'll go anywhere you tell me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I don't have anything I'm holding back from you. My life is yours. You do with it what you want. Part of that process was getting to know my Bible. I wanted to know what the truth was.
Amen.
I'm pragmatic almost to a fault. If something's not working, I'll quit trying and I'll try something else. You understand what I'm saying? I don't think insanity is repeating the same thing and expecting a different result. And that can actually be a fault sometimes, because as a Christian, you're supposed to just repeat the right things and forget the results. You just do right because it's right to do. So when I got right, I began stepping back and saying, God, I don't care what the truth is. I want the truth. And I went off to the big box Bible college I was recommended to go to, and I'm sitting in the pastoral theology classes, and I'm starting all over again from scratch. I had already been through a different school for 2 years as a pre-med major, and just got backslidden and dropped out of that school, and then wound up in this big old box Bible college with all these professors teaching us Greek and pastoral counseling and church marketing and advertising and all the rest of that stuff. And I was going down a road. Do you understand what I'm saying? A road that appealed to the intellect. A road that really showed you how to be successful in the ministry. And I began stepping back and saying, listen, I just wonder if the reason that I believe some of the things that I believe, I wonder if it's because I'm kind of brainwashed. I wonder if it's a result of my programming from the time I was born, because I grew up in this, and so now here I am, I'm automatically believing this stuff. And I began to struggle in my own spirit between me and God about where is the truth. And here's where this chapter ties into the little bit of testimony here that I was hesitant about sharing with you, because I don't want to come across wrong. We're here to preach Jesus, not us, right? Every person in this room could get up and do what I'm doing if you've been serving God any length of time. You got some testimonies you could give. But what happened is that I found a spot, because it's very hard at school to get alone. It was hard because we were living in the dorms, and all the other guys are there, and it was just hard to get alone with God. It was hard to find a spot to be alone. So I found a spot about 4 o'clock in the morning. I knew nobody else was up, and I started getting up at 4 in the morning, and I went down to the end of the hallway, and I would get underneath the stairs. The end of the hallway, I found my little cubby hole. And I remember getting up early and getting down there and getting in that cubby hole and just beginning to pour my heart out to God, saying, God, I want the truth. I don't care, God, I don't care what I've been taught. I want to know the truth of the Word of God. No matter what the truth is, I'll accept the truth. I don't care what it costs me. If you show me the truth, I'll follow the truth. Now, that's a challenging thing. What I'm trying to say is this. That was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is the way, the what?
The
and the life. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So I learned a valuable lesson that has stuck with me since then that I try not to forget. And I told you already, I'm not the answer for this thing. I struggle with it just like you do. But I learned that what I needed to get was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and pour my heart out to God and beg God, please give me the truth. God, I want you to teach me. I want to know what to do. And after a 2-year process at that school of genuinely seeking truth, the Lord led me out of that school into a tiny little Bible institute in the mountains of North Carolina, where I was sitting under an old school Bible believing preacher that knew that Bible inside out, upside down, backward and forward compared to my professors. When I asked him a question, he could say, turn here, turn there, look at this, look at that, think about this. And I was just getting Bible, just Bible, 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 Bible. And man, I'm telling you what, I would have never wound up there if it had not been for that secret place between me and God. Because sometimes, folks, all you got is the secret place. So look at the passage with me, if you would. It says in Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I'll be with him in trouble. And I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, we ask you to bless this message now as we look into this thing. Guide me, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, and help us, Lord, to leave here tonight genuinely desiring to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to stop and to do a little bit of a gut check here tonight and ask ourselves where we're honestly at in that secret place between you and us. And Father, I pray that you would be, as a result of this service tonight, some of your people, myself included, would make a decision to draw closer to you. That relationship can grow deeper. And that Jesus Christ will keep us safe and be glorified in our lives. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Notice, if you would please, in verse number 2, that secret place is a place of power. He said, I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You know what you and I need and what we ought to get out of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ? We ought to get a place of power. You need protection. You realize that, don't you? Notice what he is. He's a refuge. Why do we need a refuge? You run to a refuge because you're in danger. Folks, the safety and protection of the Lord Jesus Christ comes from that close personal relationship. I mean, if you can't hear your Father's voice, then you can't get the direction and instruction to get you through the problem that you're in. We need to make sure that secret place of the Most High, that shadow of the Almighty, that desire of a child to get close to his Father is something that we can't just take it as some kind of a religious thing or our devotions. It ought to be a deep passion within our heart to get to know our Savior better, to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that desire is really in you, I mean, if you're longing for the truth and longing for his word, then listen, no matter what dangers has come your way, no matter what problems are after you, I'm telling you, He'll keep you safe and He'll guide you through those things. He'll help you out.
Amen.
So tired of seeing all these people nowadays getting on the internet and letting some guy they don't even know influence them doctrinally.
Right.
You don't know if this guy's set up in his mama's basement or not. You know nothing about his personal life. You haven't watched his testimony. You haven't seen who he is. And yet, since he's so smart and he presents it so well and he starts twisting your mind up a little bit and gets you exercising yourself after things that are too high for you. They always dote about questions and strifes of words. They always come in with a yea hath God said. They always say, I know you've always believed this, but... And what they do is they begin undermining your confidence in the Bible that God gave you.
Amen.
They begin undermining your confidence in the things that you know. Listen, I don't know everything. Amen? Hello? But there's some things that I do know. And what I know that I know it. So don't tell me I don't know what I know, because I know what I know. You're not talking me out of what I know. And when God shows me something, and when Jesus Christ has made himself real to me, and when the Bible's black and white about something, it is what it is.
Amen.
Can I say something? And I haven't seen any of this bumper sticker here, so undoubtedly I'm going to say this, and somebody's got one in the parking lot. So please don't take it personal, okay? I take a mild issue with the statement, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God says it and that settles it, whether you believe it or not.
That's true.
When it's in the book, it's in the book. When he says whosoever will may come, guess what that means? Whosoever will may come. You can go ahead and overthink it all you want. But the fact of the matter is God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're not saved tonight, it's your fault. And if you die and go to hell, it's your fault.
Right, yeah.
I've heard these goofball preachers that think they're smarter than God, that start getting your minds all twisted up about God and about salvation. I've heard them say, brother, I've seen them at the altar crying out, oh God! Save me, and God wouldn't save them because God dealt with them before and they told God no too many times, and now they're crying out and they start pulling verses out of the Bible and misapplying them because they don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, and they begin messing with people's hearts and minds.
Right.
Listen to me. Did you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you?
Amen.
Did you trust by grace, through faith in his shed blood, did you trust what he did on the cross of Calvary to wash away your sin?
Amen.
Okay, then you're saved.
Right. Amen.
Did I mean it when I said it? Did I say it when I said it? I don't know if I really meant it. I'm not, God help me never go into a church or into a pulpit anywhere on the planet and begin to undermine people's faith in their salvation in order to tell people I got some people saved on the trip.
Right. Amen.
You stinking charlatan, who do you think you are? That stuff aggravates me. And then you got some kid that's raised in church their whole life that didn't have some kind of a huge transition when they got saved, but they sure enough got saved. And all of a sudden they're sitting there like, You know what you need? You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's so close that when somebody walks up and says, are you sure you meant it when you meant it? Like,
amen.
Get out of here.
Right.
Nobody's going to go to my daughters and say, are you sure he's your dad?
Right.
Is he? I wonder. Maybe... That's my dad. You know why they know I'm her dad? Because we're close. You see how important it is that we learn to get close to Jesus Christ? Because there is so much false doctrine out there, and there's seducing spirits, and there's doctrines of devils, and they're multiplying in the generation you're in, and there's all kinds of pathways to be tuning into that stuff and learning about that stuff. I'm going to say it right now. I'm not in my notes. This one's free. You got no business studying about demons and devils and occults and false religions from the internet, watching videos and all the rest of that stuff. How do you know you're not getting something the devil's trying to give you?
Right.
You want to know about spirits? You just learn it right here. That's a safe place to learn it. It'll keep you under the shadow of the Almighty. You don't need to be clicking on some idiot's YouTube video, excuse me, some idiot's YouTube video, because he puts this demon stuff on there and devil stuff on there and gets people to click. It's clickbait because he wants to make money. He's trying to self-promote. Now stuff will mess you up, and I'm seeing more and more Christians getting messed up with it.
Amen.
What do you need YouTube to teach you the Bible for?
Right.
God gave you a church and a book and the Holy Spirit of God within you and some needs to get on to say, God, I want some truth. And I need you to speak to me and I want to know the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's a safe place. He says, surely he's going to deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That makes me think of two passages in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 3:7 and 2 Timothy 2:26. He must have a good report with all them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Your testimony in the community means something.
Amen.
We had some young guys come into our church years ago and they wanted to get our church shirts. You know, we had church shirts with our church name on it. And they were running around town, you know, and I found out they were running around town doing dope and all the rest of that stuff, walking around with our church shirt on it. So they walk into church and I walk up to them and I say, hey, Steve. He said, what? I said, give me the shirt. He said, huh? I said, give me your shirt. Why? So I know what's going on with you. The cops are looking for you and everything else, literally, in and out of jail, cops are looking for you. And you're running around with our church shirt on. Give me that shirt. Why? You're not, you gotta think about your testimony in the community. It's a snare of the devil.
Amen.
Oh, he goes to that church over there. Yeah, he ain't no different than us. You know, the Bible says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You wanna know how to stay safe from those snares and those attacks? It's not by somebody pressuring you to toe the line. It's not by you constantly trying to beat yourself into shape and always resisting sin and focusing constantly on resisting sin and I just got to crucify the flesh. Well, okay, how do we get this done? Did you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It seems like the more we focus on the sin, the bigger the sin gets because our eyes are on the sin. You ever notice you get stuck in repetitive cycles? How am I going to get out of this rut that I'm stuck in?
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
I think if we just kind of filled the cup up with the right stuff, that as the right stuff floods in, a lot of the other
Amen.
Stuff just gets squeezed
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, it's not anymore like, I just really got to quit. I really got to quit. I really got to quit. I'm really trying. You want to stay safe?
Yes. Amen.
What's your prayer life like?
Amen.
You want to stay safe?
Amen.
You really searching that Bible because you love that book and you want to see His face in it?
Amen.
What's your relationship with the Lord like? You know what else this place of power, it's not just a place of power, but it's a place of produce. I want to produce the right things in my life.
Amen.
You know, you can fake charity. You know, you can fake love. Oh, brother, I just love you. I get the creeps, man. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. You're like, hey, I'll bet you do. You know what I want? You know what I genuinely want? I genuinely want to be a loving Christian and a loving pastor. I want the real kind.
Yeah. Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave. How are you ever going to develop something like that? You realize naturally we're all selfish?
Yes.
You know what's funny, fellas? I love this. This is great. You see how much a sense of humor God has? So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. God said, if you love her like you love you, you'll have a great relationship and you'll be a good husband. You think we really know how to love?
Amen.
Look at the society you're in.
Yeah.
You got kids without dads.
Amen.
You understand how tragic that is?
Yeah.
You understand how much of my church has that problem? These young men are afloat in a sea of life. And let me tell you something about young men. It doesn't even have to be young. It's in a man to have a relationship with his father. I'm telling you, some of you think, well, you know, I got a messed up relationship with my children and my sons don't want to talk to me. You hear me. I'm telling you something. This is my personal testimony. I'm just telling you personally. Okay, take it or leave it. I'm telling you, something inside of him always wants his dad. first time love's mentioned in the Bible, you know what it is? It's not the romantic love of a man for a woman. It's the love of a father for his son. God put that there in a generational thing there. That's an instinctive thing inside of you, and you have to try to kill that thing. I'm just telling you what we need. We need something, boy. We need something in this generation. We need some men that know how to be real men and men that know how to love somebody else the real way. A produce, a fruit that comes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where you learn about His love so that you can go replicate what He's done for you, whether your dad gave it to you or not.
Amen.
That ain't an excuse.
Amen.
Your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will produce in your life something that could never get produced without Him.
Amen.
We'll see God start to do something when some fruit getting produced in our lives. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know what? This place is a place of power because it's protection, it produces fruit, and it covers us. He shall cover thee with His wings. Here's a great question for you. Just an honest question. Do you feel personally close to the Lord Jesus Christ? We all believe in Him, right?
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
We all know that we're supposed to have a walk with the Lord, right?
Amen.
But honestly, do you personally feel close to Him? Ain't that something to chew on?
Amen.
What does that look like? I don't know. What am I supposed to feel? I don't know, but I know He's real. And I know He says, if you dwell in a secret place with Me, you'll abide under My shadow. And if you get close to Me, I'll take care of you. How about this verse? When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Man, what a God. He says, if the deepest wound and pain in your life isn't fixed, come to Me, I'll take care of you. I'll turn every curse you got into a blessing. I personally believe it all hinges on our walk with Him. I honestly don't, you know what, here's just an honest confession. I honestly don't think I put enough time, effort, and energy into my personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't think it's that much of a priority to me to be really close to Him and understand the value of the secret place.
Amen.
You know, if your motives are right, He'll fix your methods.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, if your motives are right, He'll fix your doctrine. Isn't that something else? I gotta move on. It's not just a place of power. It's a place of preservation. Look at verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You know what He's saying? He's saying, I'll preserve you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
It's a place of preservation. I told you this morning, one of my biggest fears is spending this much of my life pouring myself into the ministry and what I do, and 21 years of marriage, and our oldest is 19. She's going to be 20 soon. And it's like we put 20 years almost of blood, sweat, and tears into her. We got three more girls, and you guys know, if you had kids, it isn't a walk in the park. Don't you love your kids? None of you are, by the way, kids, there's no such thing as perfect parents. Give them a break. If you want yours to give you a break someday, give your mom and dad a break and do what God says. Obey them. But we're trying, aren't we, mom and dad?
Amen.
We're trying.
Amen.
And you pour yourself into Him like that all that time, and I can't imagine if it's my fault. It's what my kids are going to make their own decisions. You do understand that, right?
Yeah,
they are. I know people with six kids, three in church, love Jesus Christ, doing great, three derelicts, same home, same parents, same excuses, same everything. They make their own choices.
Yeah.
Oh, you got such great kids. Well, it's because we're such wonderful parents. You ever get around people like that? All my kids are serving the Lord and they're all in the mission field and they're all wonderful. What they're saying is, what's wrong with yours? We obviously figured it out and you don't. Come to us for advice. If my kids do serve Jesus Christ, it's because they chose to. I want to know I didn't mess it up though.
Sure.
Wow, yeah. Amen.
I don't want to preach one thing and live another. I don't want to have 21 years of marriage and then wreck what God's given me. God gave me something great. That was one of the reasons God sent me to the Bible college. That's where I got her.
Yeah.
I went down south, got me a Southern Belle, and took her back up north. I ain't as stupid as I look.
That's wisdom.
I don't want to mess it up.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, people don't just randomly fall into sin.
Amen.
You don't just one day wake up and say, how in the world am I drunk right now and cheating on my wife?
That's right.
There was a long history there of thoughts and temptations and sin and secret stuff that only God knew before you wound up getting to that point. And all that stuff was going on because you didn't care at all about you and your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That meant nothing to you because the fellowship with Him was long gone. The conviction had been there. You've been telling Him, shut up and leave me alone. I'd never say that to God. That's exactly what we say to Him when He convicts us and we say we're doing it anyhow. I care more about what I want than what you want. Get off my back.
Amen.
Boy, I sure don't want to mess it up, man.
Amen.
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 You know what the solution to that is? Just learning to really, 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 really genuinely love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Notice verse 13. He'll not just keep you in all your ways, but He'll keep you from the wickedness of the world. He points out a young lion, an adder, and the dragon. Well, you're Bible students. You know what all those things represent. They represent sin. They represent your enemy who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I want safety from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, folks, I don't think everything is the devil. I think we give him way more credit than we should. If anything, the poor guy probably sits in the corner and cries about the fact that he's got enough on his account and all those Christians try to give me more than what I'm even worthy of, you know? This meant facetiously, okay? I don't think everything's the devil. But I'll guarantee you this, if you really love Jesus Christ and you really sell out and you really want to draw close, you will find that He will come up against you sooner or later, or one of His imps does. I don't know how all that stuff works, but it's there. There's a lot of wickedness out there.
Yes, there is.
And there's a lot of stuff trying to trip you up and mess you up and wanting to devour you and devour your marriage and devour your children and devour this church and devour your pastors. You know where the safety is? It's in the secret place.
Amen.
I probably told you this the last time I was here because it happened in Texas, so I'm not holding it against you, but I think I got to tell you this again. We were preaching in Beeville, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. We're sitting on the front porch and we're talking to a lady from the church, and our kids were way out in back in the pasture. They had donkeys and all kinds of stuff out there, and my daughters were out there just having a blast. And it was a warm day in February. It got up to about 70 degrees. We're sitting on the front porch and talking to this lady in the church, and she was really just opening up to us. She's a sweetheart of a lady. She had had a hard life. And what a sweet spirit she had. I was just really caught up in the conversation, and so was my wife, because it was impressive what a godly woman she is after all she'd been through. She's at least 20 years older than us, probably 30. We're sitting there talking. We've always taught our kids, you don't interrupt adults when they're talking. You come up and stand there. And if I'm talking, you just wait. And even if I don't look at you, I know you're there. So you just can it till we're done. You understand? So we're sitting there, we're talking, and our third daughter comes running up to us, Dad, Dad! And we're like, shh, Lillian, we're talking. I'm sorry, go ahead. And it was like, it was already on. You understand what I'm saying? That was really embarrassing. she's old school. You know, she's thinking we're the worst parents in the world and I'm the visiting preacher, you know, all that stuff. Dad, Lillian? Grace says, Lillian, what'd your dad tell you? She said, okay, fine, but I got bit by a snake. We were both like, what? She had two fang marks right there on the front of her shin and had run from out in the back of the property all the way up to the house with two holes in her shin and a bruise. She's running through the field and she must have surprised him. He was a little sluggish and she stepped on a Western Diamondback and it hit her in the shin. Man, we rushed her to the hospital. Got all the tests. She was in there for hours. She was laying there crying. She said, I want to go back and play with the donkeys. We're like, are you scared of snakes now? No, I want to go play with the donkeys. She was little back then. You know, the first thing that hit my mind when she came running up and said, okay, but I got bit by a snake. You know, I can't explain the feeling, but as a parent, I think the best way to explain it would be you get a phone call and they say, hey, your kid just got shot. And what you say is, okay, how bad is it? Are we talking about the leg? Are we talking about the chest? Are we talking about the head? Like, what's going to happen? That was literally how it hit Grace and I. And the first verse that popped into my head as I was sitting there is, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. It was just a comfort flooded over my soul. And I looked at my wife. I said, she's going to be all right. It's okay. She's going to be all right. You know what it was? It was a dry bite. It could have just as easily not been a dry bite. And that little kid running from all the way back there, all the way up to the house like that, after getting bit with a bite with some venom in it, she'd have probably been dead.
Right.
See, what I'm trying to tell you is, I don't think this passage of scripture means you're never going to get bit. I just think it means that when things happen, God will take you through it and it's going to be all right in the end.
Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord.
Man, what a blessing to have a promise like this.
Amen.
Look at the last thing and I'll let you go because I know you're tired. This secret place, your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, it's a precious place. Look at verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know what's amazing about that? Look at verse 14. Look what it's all about. Because he has set his love upon me. Now, I'm not effeminate because I'm talking to you about love. It's not an effeminate thing, gentlemen. God's the one that loved. He could smoke this whole universe with a thought. He's the one that taught us about love. You know what's a little bit more natural for a female to love? You ladies ever study the women in your Bible and notice that women are oftentimes closer to Jesus Christ because you're a little bit more of an emotional creature, and as a result of being a little bit more of an emotional creature, it's a little bit easier for you to draw close to him than it is for men. Go do a study on it. You'll be interested to see who's the first ones to the tomb. Who is he talking to off the cross? Hey, take care of my mother. Gentlemen, you know something? We'd probably do our wives a whole world of good by not using our manhood as an excuse to not be close to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to love Him like we should. Because He hath set His love upon me. In other words, He chose to love me. Don't give me this stuff, well, she's just killed my love. I just don't love her anymore. You just don't understand. I'm trying, but she's just killed my love. Yeah, I've had grown 50-year-old men tell me stuff like that. After being married for decades, well, I've tried, but I just can't anymore. Well, man up.
Yes,
man. Well, make a decision.
Amen.
I mean, the Lord loved you.
Right.
In spite of you.
Amen.
He made a choice to say, okay, you're going to go ahead and hurt me, and I know you're going to hurt me, and I know after I save you, you're going to betray me, and you're going to sin against me, but I love you anyhow.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
What a God, man.
Amen.
And it's not too much to ask for us to say, you know what, Lord, I don't love you like I should, and I'm sorry.
Amen.
And I'm choosing tonight to learn to love my Savior. Because he has set his love upon me. It's a choice.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. I'm going to say something. I hope I don't offend you, especially you mama bears. But you know a lot of times why we love our kids? Because they're little pieces of us. In other words, you're my baby. Instead of their God's. And I'm going to love them because God wants me to love them. And that means that if I got to tick them off, I'm going to tick them off. And I don't care because I love them. I'm doing what's best for them. Talking about real love. I'm talking about challenging our minds a little bit to consider, do we really love him like we should? Do we even really understand love like we ought to understand it? God's given me about 3 different men in my life who loved me. Genuinely loved me. Not including my father and my grandfather. I know they loved me, but I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Brother Jim Lentz loved me, helped me. Brother Mike Veach loved me, helped me. Brother David Peacock loved me and helped me. Every one of those guys has hurt me. Every one of them. Don't tell them I said it, but they're the only men that could make me cry. They're the only men when they got in my face and said, you're the problem, you idiot. What's wrong with you? That I felt like that small. Because I respected them and I loved them and I looked up with them and I'm not a man worshiper. They meant something to me. God put them in my life and they were helping me. They were spiritual fathers.
Right. Yeah.
They loved me enough to make me mad. I wouldn't be here today without a personal relationship. They had a personal relationship with God, and I appreciated the relationship I saw. And boy, when they told me the truth, I knew it was the truth. Because I asked God years ago for truth, and I've never recanted it.
Amen.
I'm still seeking truth.
Amen.
Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And you know what that doesn't mean? That doesn't mean I'm going back and rethinking what I know that I know.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
I ain't coming up with any new doctrines.
Oh.
I got the foundation, and I know I got the right one.
Yes.
Now, I'm asking for truth one day at a time, and the truth that's hard to swallow is the truth he gives me about me.
Amen.
And the truth is, if we're all honest tonight, not to browbeat you, not to guilt trip you, none of us would honestly say, I love Jesus Christ like I should.
Amen.
It's a place of love, and it's a place of petition. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
Amen.
I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You guys ever stop to consider how powerful prayer is?
Amen. Amen.
You know why we struggle to pray? Do you guys ever notice how hard it is to pray, or is it just me?
Amen. Amen.
5 minutes in prayer feels like 2 hours of Bible reading for me. I'm not kidding you. You know why it's hard? It shows where my heart's actually at. I love that woman. I pointed at my wife. Just to make it clear. Okay? I said, amen. So it's not hard for me to talk to her. I will be on the phone this coming week. As much as I can. Why? Because I love her. The first date we went on, we sat and we talked for 8 hours straight. That's crazy, isn't it? I know, because I'm watching my daughter do the same stuff and it's just nauseating. You know what I mean? But it was love. you get the point I'm making?
Yes.
And I think if we got on our knees in prayer like that, we'd start seeing some answers to prayer. I'm not saying that God's going to override somebody else's will. I'm not giving you some false promises.
Right.
I'm saying though we would really start moving heaven with some prayers.
Yeah.
Now here's the conclusion. Watch this. I just gave you a spiritual application of Psalm 91 to you and I, right? But there's three applications to every scripture. There's the doctrinal application, there's a historical application, and there's a spiritual application. I just gave you the spiritual application. Do you know who this is speaking to doctrinally? It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. He died at 33. I'll deliver thee from the snare of the follower. The bulls of Bashan compassed Him about. They pierced Him. They crucified Him. You know what this promise is? It ain't about time. It ain't about this life.
Yeah.
I honestly gave you some spiritual application that I genuinely believe with all my heart is solid. I don't think you can punch holes in it. But the truth is, what we do for Him now has eternal repercussions.
That's right.
Amen. So here's my conclusion, and I'm out of your way. I'll turn it over to your pastor. Here's the thought. Will you make up your mind tonight that you're going to love Jesus Christ more,
Amen.
Serve Him more,
Amen.
Please Him more, and strive to draw closer to Him, even if He doesn't bless you?
Right.
If your blessings are only spiritual, only comfort in your heart, only a walk with Him, only a genuine realization that, man, I'm getting close to my Savior. As soon as you get close, the war's going to begin. Because the old head's going to say, for the first time, I think I feel what it's like to be drawn close to Jesus Christ. And the devil starts moving in to tell you how spiritual you are and let the games begin. But if the motive is really, God, I want to be close to You, then you'll be doing that in secret, and your Father that sees in secret, He'll reward you openly.
Amen.
That reward doctrinally, will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Practically and realistically, He does reward people in this life.
Yes, He does.
Not trying to discourage you. I think all that stuff's a nice surprise. Wow, look, God blessed. But the motive ain't for the blessings. The motive's the blesser.
Amen.
Father, we love You tonight, and we ask You please to help us. Help us to set our love upon You. Help us to learn, Father, the value of a secret place.
Amen.
Help us to evaluate our own personal lives and to realize in honesty whether or not we really love You like we should, and help us to draw closer to You.
Yes.
We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.